Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the 2016 full year results and strategy plan guidelines conference call of Banca Ifis. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Giovanni Bossi, CEO, and Mara Di Giorgio, Head of Communication and IR of Banca Ifis. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Mara Di Giorgio speaking. I would like to thank you everyone for being with us. Immediately I give the floor to Mr. Bossi.
Thank you, Mara. Thank you to everybody. The board of director of Banca Ifis this morning approved both the annual report 2016 and the strategic plan 2017-2019, three years. Well, as regards the annual reports, no particular news, because we approved the preliminary results some weeks ago, now the 9th of February. Instead, the strategic plan has some information that we think are relevant for the market. First of all, allow me to say that the strategic plan is coherent with our vision. Our vision for the role of a bank, and in particular, of Banca Ifis role in the economy and the financial system. We are convinced, we think that only a bank that is a plus, that is beneficial to the economy in which it operates, and at the same time knows how to obtain the right amount of profit from its actions, has the dignity to look forward and plan its future. We think that these two targets has to concur to the success of a bank. It is impossible to have a sustainable growth without being together profitable and a plus for the real economy of our country. First of all, I think we can split our presentation in three parts. The first is, well, the vision and our situation and our actual situation. The second is the results for 2016, and the third is the strategic plan. Mara.
I hope that everyone has already downloaded from the website the presentation at which we will refer for commenting results and strategic plan this afternoon. Anyway, it's available on www.bancaifis.it. I would like to start from page number five, where we are showing how we are positioned in the market today according to our target customers and our commercial channels. As you may know, after the acquisition and integration of Banca Ifis Group with KKG Capital Interbanca Group, we are present in either the support to enterprises in the short-term finance, medium-term finance, and long-term finance, including even leasing in that, and restructuring finance. We are covering, supporting with the financial support, the entire life, the cycle, and the life of the different corporates, including the area when, let's say, the things are not going so well. We are speaking about the tax receivable segment and the NPL. We are either active in the NPL since the beginning of our operation and activities in the individuals, in the retail, we are calling sector, with the unsecured consumer credit, where we think we are the leaders in Italy. From half, more or less, of 2016, we have enlarged our area of operations, looking also to secured, but we will detail more about what we mean by secured NPL assets and corporates, in particular, small corporates. As far as savings is concerned, we are covering and we are offering our products either to individuals through the Contomax and Rendimax online deposit account and corporate, thanks to the integration of the corporate deposit account already developed by the Interbanca Bank. In terms of commercial channels that where we are present today and we want to develop more looking forward, today we are present on the field, so on, let's say, on with the real people working together with working and meeting, let's say, customers on the field in all segments apart from the savings area, where our presence is mainly online, helped by the phone and in the corporate Interbanca time deposit with a strict relationship on the field with the big enterprises mainly. On the web, up to now, we were present only in the short-term finance, developing lead and prospects since 3 years, so have developed already inside the bank know-how and knowledge on the B2B sector, on how to work in developing the B2B sector leads. But starting from today, we are going to work very hard also in developing through the web platform also prospects for the medium-term finance and mainly for the leasing. We are really set up a project that we will see together with the investments that in the business plan Mr. Bossi will present to go, let's say, for a digital bank approach, a very strong way for the commercial, let's say, support coming from the web. We are also present, in terms of commercial channels in using the phone, the phone area, and we will develop more, and there will be an effort in the business plan also in the coming years, mainly for the NPL area. So NPL will be reinforced by a strong phone collection area for the setting up of the new collection area. Going to slide page 6, we want to present to you the today organization. Today organization of Banca IFIS is taking into consideration 5 companies consolidated at Banca IFIS SPA, let's say, level. We are working already in merging by mid, more or less, year, the IFIS factoring SRL in Banca IFIS SPA. And in the second part of the year, we will merge Interbanca SPA in Banca IFIS. We have also set up the project for merging IFIS leasing in Banca IFIS SPA in 2018. This is the aim here is really to simplify the corporate governance of the group and to be much more, speed in outlining all the processes for, transparency terms. Going to page number 7, we define 2016 past, because these are achieved results. And in the following pages, we want to give you some snapshots on the results, which are worth to understand the coming years. So the purpose of these slides, page 8, 9, 10, and 11, is just to give you some headlines for then projecting the coming years and understanding better the starting point. So in terms of page number 8, in 2016, profit and loss and balance sheet are really impacted by the gain on bargain purchase equal to 623 million euro. This has to be taken into consideration in all numbers that we will present. So when we are saying that net profit has achieved 687.9 million euros with an increase of over 300%, we are speaking about a net profit that is taking into consideration a bargain purchase of 623, okay, and is considering on the opposite side 2015, including the net gain coming from the sale of the government bond portfolio equal to 124 million euro. If we normalize the net profit in 2015 and 16, the real increase was 14.2%, reaching the level in 2016 of net profit of 89.7 million euro. In terms of equity, we have reached the astonishing level of 1.2 billion euro, which means more than double the equity realized at the end of 2015, that was 573 million euro. We have to take into consideration that that was possible thanks to the profit realized and to the bargain purchase of 623, and the fact that no filter, okay, was given, let's say, was adopted in the consolidation of the numbers, so no, was not given by the regulators to us. 7 billion of funding is represented by retail and corporate deposits for a total of 4.6 billion euro. Debt securities in issue like bonds and securitizations that were worth of more or less for 1.4 billion euro, and wholesale from banks in more or less of 670 million euros. In terms of loans, the growth reported by the two main segments were trade receivables and DRL. DRL increasing of over 50% and trade receivables increasing almost 9%. We include also in this number, for the first time, corporate banking for an amount of more or less 900 million euro and leasing for 1.2 billion euro, together with tax receivables that was 125 million euro. It's worth to point out the cost of credit in the group KPIs that was equal to 80 basis points in 2016, an astonishing number, okay, for us, very good. And this is including not only trade receivables, but also corporate banking and leasing. So for the first time, we are showing the cost of credit of the entire, let's say, area dedicated in Banca IFIS, dedicated to the support of SMEs. Earning per share for at the end of the year was 12.9, but normalized was 1.69 cents, and book value per share realized was 22.8 euros. Now, going to slide number 9, okay, here we have a breakdown of the net banking income. First of all, consolidated net banking income was 326, that was up 16.5% in a like-for-like comparison of the old Banca IFIS perimeter. If we see the breakdown of the different segments, okay, we have trade receivables, which is including IFIS factoring for a not meaningful really amount. The segment is anyway increasing for 9.9%, with clients growing of over 19%, turnover increasing by 4%, and loans increasing in this segment by 8.6%. This growth has been also positively influenced by IFIS Pharma, for the first time has also adopted a new cash flow estimate related to the legal interest recoverable for 15.8 million euros. Corporate banking, NBA, is included only for the month of December and is equal to 3 million euros. It includes 8.5 million of reversal PPA coming from the fair value given to the assets at the business combination time. and the accounting value recorded in the balance sheet. Then we have also in this segment included 5.8 million euro of passive commissions coming from the securitization at the acquisition time. The same passive commissions are included also in the following segment, which is leasing, for an amount of 6.4 million euro for another securitization that was realized at the acquisition time. And leasing, for this reason, is losing some money for the month of December, so 1.2. As we said, we can for sure say that leasing is a profitable business already in the Interbank Group and will be more profitable in the coming years, as we will see. Then DRL, which tripled the net banking income achieved from 2015 to 2016. Well, this is, let's say, a very, very great result due to an efficient management of the 1.4 million position of debtors that we have and mostly from the collection activity. It includes also gains from the sale of portfolio equal to 44 million euro, and it is accounted in the result, in this result also the impairment activity for 33 million euro, 42, sorry, million euro. Tax receivable was down due to the fact that in 2015 we have included one single operation which realized 5.2 million euro of one-off positive income, and the cash-in in this segment is much more speed up, let's say, during this year. Governance and services is the difference, let's say the big difference here is due to the fact that in 2015 we have included the 124.5 million euro coming from the sale of the government bond portfolio. Going to slide 10, net profit. Let's immediately see, as we said, net profit like for like was up 14.2%. The breakdown in terms of components going from the net banking income to the net profit, okay, is including 26.6 million of provisions, which are related mainly to trade receivables for an amount of over 20 million euros, and 4.4 million euro dedicated to the impairment of some participations like Banca Popolare di Vicenza. Then in the 26.6 we have also included 1.5 provisions due to the leasing. Personnel, okay, on the right side of the slide you have a detail here where you can see that up to the 65.9 million euro of the personnel, 5.5 are due to the restructuring cost at the moment of which we have acquired the Interbanca Group and the first line of management has left. And then 3.8 are the costs related to the personnel for the only month of December. A normalized number, which means only Banca IFIS old perimeter, is 56.6. In the 56.6, we are including an additional 190 people, okay, hired during the first months of 2016. Then, hiring process was stopped, and we are trying today, really, since some months, to rationalize and to, let's say, integrate more and better, okay, people of Banca IFIS with the people of Interbanca Group. Other expenses, which are again part of the 202 million euro of operating costs, other expenses we have here, let's say, we have here some acquisitions, some costs related to the acquisitions for a value worth around 14 million euro. Here are included mainly consultancy costs, securitization costs, and stamp and duties for Rendimax, the part of Rendimax dedicated to the support of the acquisition. And 5.9 again are costs, other expenses included just in the Interbanca Group for the month of December. Like for like, Banca IFIS had recorded the cost for 106 million euro. Main part of this increasing cost is due to the NPL area, because always we have to take into consideration that there is a strict correlation between the net banking income realized by the area, by this segment, and the cost of recovery included in the direct costs in other expenses. So, for example, collection costs or commercial information costs. And then we have the PPA, let's say it's worth 623 million euro, okay, which is the difference between the fair value of assets and liabilities both, which were worth 743 million euro, and the cost paid of 119 million euro. Taxes with a normalized tax rate of 33.4%, minorities because Interbanca Group has 0.01%, which is on the market, still on the market, so we have to recognize some minorities. So the total net profit is 687.9. Slide number 11. Is just summarizing and giving you the let's say the trend, the main trend on the KPIs of the last 3 years, and we can say that is pointing out the consistent and solid growth of the bank. I would like to focus your attention on the net profit for the period box, CET ratio box, and net equity as well. These three boxes are giving the evidence of a consistent growth in net profit, which went for extraordinary and ordinary reasons from 96 to 162 to 688 million euros. So we were able to generate profits growing consistently. Okay. Equity and CET ratio, okay, which at the same time net equity grew by tripling, okay, and with a ratio of solidity growing consistently during the years. These ratios, so either net profit, solidity, and net equity, we were able to be to achieve the results. Increasing loans and improving the quality ratio of the NPL ratio as well of the coverage ratio related to NPLs. Today our NPL coverage ratio is 88.5% with an NPL ratio of 1%. And we are very, let's say, very happy and I would say, I mean, this is giving us motivation to even do better in the next 3 years. Now I give the floor to Mr. Bossi for the presentation of the strategic plan, starting from page number 13.
Thank you, Mara. Yes. A brief view on the pillars on which we based this strategic plan, the 3 year strategic plan. Some of you probably knows very well the pillars. The pillars are solidity, liquidity, and profitability. It's quite easy to say that these three pillars should be very common in any kind of bank activities, but to me it seems that in some situation we as a bank, we are in the bank industry, try to forget that these are three crucial aspects of our activity. Solidity means, in our view, means preservation of capital. Capital is a crucial aspect of our activity, and in particular, to maintain an elevated level of solvency. 5 years, 7 years ago, a bank with a total own fund ratio higher than 10% was considered to be very, 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 very strong. Today, 15% is the new 10, so we think that 15 could be a reasonable trigger. As regards this point, the solidity point, we aim to maintain a capital buffer for future growth opportunities, but we will spend some words later during this presentation on this point. As regards liquidity, of course, liquidity is another crucial aspect of any bank activities. In the last years, liquidity became less crucial due to the actions of the institution, also the action of the institution. Today, as regards Banca Ifis, we have a huge amount of retail funding, and this funding is growing today at a pace that is more or less 100 million euro per month. More or less, generally speaking, we think that this pace of growth will be achievable, we can maintain this pace for the next future. The only point is that we are not completely sure so far that we will need all this liquidity, and so if we will see that the liquidity will be in excess, we can reduce interest rates, so controlling the mass of liquidity. Another point as regards liquidity is to continue to generate collateral using our assets, collateral for the euro system. This is crucial because, the cost of funding in the euro system is zero or even below, and the target we have is to generate the maximum amount possible of collateral, both to reduce the cost of funding and to maintain a very high level profile of liquidity. Third point as regards liquidity is the diversification on the funding side. Diversification means some bond issues, some wholesale market activities. And coming to the profitability, the third pillar, the business model of Banca Ifis is in place to deliver consistent and stable growth. And what is very crucial for us is to invest in activities with a high risk-adjusted return. And we control the risk-adjusted return of our investment in any investment we perform, not only when we start the activity, but also through the cycle in any moment, with specific tools that allow us to say if an investment is profitable, sustainable in the medium to long term. If not, we close. In the strategic plan, we have improvement like for like in all our banking activities. At page 14, you will see how we go to the market, and you see immediately that there are two new sectors, so that are corporate banking, that is a result of the Interbank acquisition, and the leasing, that is the result of the acquisition of the subsidiaries active in leasing field from Interbank. The rest of the segments are, let's say, old. At page 15, 15 and 16, we have to show to you that at the beginning of 17, we changed the internal the interest rate at which we transfer funds inside the bank from the headquarters to the business units. This request an adjustment of the result of 2016 and an adjustment that is obvious if we want to compare the result of 2016 with the future perspective for the 3 years plan. Why we restate this interest rate? Because before the interbank acquisition, the most part of our assets were short in term of duration, and today we have to better split the interest rate between the business unit, because there are some business units very short, other business units more long, and so we took the opportunity to restate the interest rate. So the slide 15 and 16 is only for this reason, they can explain what the starting point is in 2016, taking into consideration the new interest rates. Going to 17, we are on the more, let's say, juicy part of the strategic plan. The first is the net banking income and the growth we estimate for the future in the net banking income. We think starting from 381 billion euro of net banking income restated, I remember to you, restated, net banking income growth of 24-26%, compounded annual growth rate every year. So 24-26% of net banking income growth for 3 years means that in 3 years the net banking income more or less double. We expect a growth in all the segments of the activity of the bank and a very strong contribution to the total profitability in the non-performing loan area. Another point is that we expect to have Interbanca Group in break-even starting from 2017, this year, and this is even before the reversal of the PPA. After the reversal, it could be easy, but before reversal of the PPA is a good target that we think is reasonable, reachable. The PPA, the purchase price allocation, the reversal of the purchase price allocation will have a significant impact in the incoming years, but we will spend some words more in the next pages. I told you that the core business will double in the next 3 years in terms of profitability, and also the net banking income on loans will grow more or less 200 basis points. Also, but not only, because of the reversal of the PPA. Going on the single segments, the trade receivables, the historic segment of Banca IFIS, where the compounded annual growth rate will be in the area 9-11% for any single year, clients will be up 20% every year, the volumes 8-10%. I mean the volumes means the volume of the receivables we will buy, where the loans will be up 10-15%. The target here will be to increase the customer base. That is the most we will see at the end of the plan, more small clients and less big clients, more small tickets and less big tickets. Here we will see a strong action on the tech field, web and digitalization of the process. And a crucial point will be the cross-selling that we will see through all the other business areas. Going to the corporate banking, that is the old Interbanca activity, Here, the net banking income on the year in 2016 is zero, but this is obvious. And we expect to have net banking income in the area of 80, 90 billion after at the end of the plan in 2019, with a strong growth in loans, in particular in the new loans, with an effect on the reversal of the PPA in the area of 60, 70 million. Again, here, new clients for the medium to long term lending, probably smaller than the actual ones. Big opportunities for what we can see in the structured finance, where the market is very, very, very positive in this moment. And an active management for the portfolio, for the runoff portfolio and the deteriorated assets. We don't have in mind to sell, to dispose any kind of assets. We are buyers, not sellers of deteriorated assets, first of all buyers. And we think that the best thing we can do in the workout and recovery portfolio that is big in the interbank hands is to manage this portfolio in the best way possible. Just to let you have a view on this point, take into consideration that the non-performing loans on loans in the the old Interbanca perimeter has been provisioned at 94%. The net banking, allow me to say it to explain better. The sofferenze, the old sofferenze of Interbanca, the non-performing loans of Interbanca has been provisioned at 94%. So the rest is only 6% is the value of the net value in comparison with the gross one. As regards the trade finance of Banca IFIS, this figure is 89%. And globally speaking, in Banca IFIS, the coverage of the non-performing loans is 92%. We think that this is a point that explains the high level of quality of our assets. Again, in the corporate banking, a crucial point will be the cross-selling. In the leasing field, we think that the growth will be in the area for the net banking income will be in the area of 13-16% yearly. The clients will be up 8-10%. The loans will be up 17-19%. I speak these figures are CAGR figures, so every year. And the new loans will be up 20-25%. One target of this plan is to increase the market share of IFIS leasing into the Italian market, and what we are seeing is that even if it is very early to say something like this, in the first evidence for the first month of 2017 is that the market share grew in a quite significant manner, even if it is only 2 months in this year. Again, in the leasing field, the focus is in the cross-selling. And so I told you that cross-selling is a crucial element of our development in the next 3 years, and we think that we will need for this purpose. We will need to have a strong support from the digital side, from the technological side, and we are working very with a highly commitment on this side. Coming to the non-performing loans segment, well, you know that this has been in the recent quarters the most profitable segment, and we think that this kind of profitability will grow faster, further in the next years, till with a yearly rate in the area of 25-30% in terms of net banking income. The target for the acquisition in the three-year plan is in the area of €10-15 billion of gross value, so nominal value of portfolios, and the recovery rate will be over 20%, with a growth in the with the loans, the total amount in our asset side, up 35-40% on a yearly basis. We expect to have a strong contribution here from the legal factory department for the legal factory is a crucial part of our action. Many of you familiar with our business model knows that we push an particular emphasis in this collection way in the last 3 years. So today we are having very, very important results from this activity. We will continue the disposal of long tail of the portfolio, consumer portfolio, that will impact in some way positively the profit. Of course, you can imagine we have more than 1 million of debtors in our database. 1 million of debtors is a huge number. At the same time, is a barrier that allow us to have an advantage and other players to have some problem in entering in this market without knowing what we know. And we think that today we are in the condition to take the benefit of this, of the huge amount of position we bought in the last 2-3 years. As communicated in the last 2 quarters, probably we will continue with some activities in the small companies, small corporate, and in the small micro secured market where we have the intention to realize some good deals during the year. That's all for NPL. Tax receivables will be defined a nice to have segment. And tax receivables is a good business. It's like to invest in government bonds, non-liquid government bonds, but it is interesting to have a net banking income on loans 7-10% with a capital absorption that under certain circumstances is zero, like for BTP or government. At page 23, you will see the breakdown of the net banking income from 2016-2019, and you will see clearly the predominance of the non-performing loans that we think will generate a very significant part of the profitability. At the same time, you will see that corporate banking and leasing will start generating a good level of profitability. Page 24, the net profit starting from the adjusted 2016 net profit of 89 million euro, we think that the compounded annual growth rate for the 3 years will be 40-45%, and 40-45% of compounded annual growth rate, just to save you the effort to make some calculation, means that at the end of 2019, we think that the net profit will be between 245 and 270 million euro, between 245 and 270 million euro. To anticipating some questions, I could say that in 2019, 80% of this profit will be probably core profit, and the rest, 20%, will be the result of the reverse of the purchase price allocation. We think to have a focus on the cost of risk, it is very difficult to estimate the cost of risk in a 3 years horizon of 3 years, but anyway, we think that 100 basis points could be fine. There are some players in the Italian market that are saying that even something below 100 is fine. So far we think that 100 is a good picture of our expectation. The ratio, the non-performing loans on loans, we expect that this ratio will stay in the area of 1%, so no problems as regards the credit quality, with a coverage that will stay in the area of 85-90%. As regards the cost income, we will stay below 50%. Below 50% because that is good, but not an excellent result. Good because not excellent because we have to spend a quite significant amount of money for technologies, and not only for the digital transformation, but also to let our bank better operate in all the markets. We think that in three years we will spend 140 million euro in this field. I put in evidence that the reversal of the purchase price allocation will have a significant impact in the incoming years. Even in 2020-2021, so after the plan. Going on the funding, we think that the retail deposit will have a moderate growth. I spent some words 10 minutes ago on this point. We are asking 700 million from the TLTRO. This is the last window for the TLTRO. We will take 700 million euro, and we expect that due to the growth that we will have in the loans from 2016 and 2018, this is the parameter of the ECB, we think that we will have an interest rate on this 700 million euro for 4 years fixed at minus 40 basis points. That is, let's say, sexy. As regards bonds, we will take advantage in the market. Well, we can use bonds as a tool for financing our activities, and probably we will do it in the medium to medium term. As regards the securitization, of course, we are committed in going on with the securitization. maintaining a good profile of asset that could be transformed into liquidity with a very short notice. As regards the capital ratio, the capital ratio at the end of 2016, last year, has been 15.7%, and even if the average weighted risks will grow according to the lending activity forecasted, we think that at the end of the plan, we will have something in the area of 17-18% in terms of total capital ratio. As Mara told you half an hour ago, no regulatory measures on equity has been put from the ECB and the Bank of Italy, so our equity is completely available as a regulatory capital. You will see in 2007, you can see in the balance sheet 2016, and you will see more in 2017 due to the merge of Interbanca, an increase in the fiscal assets of the group above 500 million euro. Well, this is not a surprise. This is something that we estimated from the beginning. And the fiscal assets are a bad beast in terms of capital absorption, because there are absorption of 100%, 250%, and in some situation 1,250%, so deductible from the equity. Doesn't matter. At the end of the plan, the impact of these fiscal assets will be near zero, because we will use all the assets paying taxes, of course. But this is a specific voice that we need to control in a very strong way. As regards the challenges, global challenges for the next 3 years, we think that we will deliver to the market a return on equity over 15% in 2019, over 1.5, an earning per share over 4.5 euro, today is 1.7, and we think that 4.5 will be fine, and we will have a book value per share over 30 euro. A crucial focus will be on the digital transformation, on the digitalized bank, and the investment in technology at this stage, the stance of the bank is that we will develop a very strong flow of investment in this field, but the most important commitment is not linked with the money, but with the human resources that we are hiring in this field, and at which we are asking an extraordinary effort in these 3 years, because we want to push ahead Banca IFIS in this field. Target is to give to our customer the best user experience possible. We think that this is the future of any bank willing to maintain a role in the market. I close with an idea that is not a commitment, but an idea, let's say. We have capital in excess. The times in front of us are difficult to predict, difficult to understand. Opportunities, problems, risks, rewards, and opportunities are everywhere. And we think that at the end of 2019, we could have, on top on the figures we described during this presentation, a maximum of other 5 billion euro of potential new assets, and I mean new average weighted risks. And this is on top on our plan. So, but we think we have resources, capital, equity, let's say, regulatory capital, liquidity, and technology to develop all this. The further growth of 5 billion is not a commitment, it's only an idea that we have. We will see on the market if and when we will find good opportunities.
Okay, operator, we are ready for the Q&A section.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Luigi Tramontana of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a quick question on operating costs. Given that I haven't seen any indication of cost synergies arising from the acquisition, and I understand that you will do significant investments in technology and new hiring. So just wanted to know if an estimate of 370 million euros of operating costs in 2019 looks credible or not. If you can give us more details. Thank you.
Okay, Luigi, Mara speaking. So in terms of either synergies and cost, we have indicated around an amount of 39-40 million euros at the time of the presentation in July, okay, for the integration. We, in 2016, in terms of costs reported in the P&L, we are in a range of 25-26 million euro. An additional 12 are going to be inserted in 2017. And then also 2018 and 2019, we will have some integration costs, some million of euros of integration costs. In terms of synergies, when we are indicating cross-selling, that is the area of strong synergies in terms of revenues. And when we are indicating that in the personnel, the hiring process has been stopped, this is another area where synergies are created. Did I answer to your question?
Yes, thanks.
Okay.
The next question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I have a few questions on my side. And the first one is on net banking income. Could you elaborate a little bit on the spread you are expecting in terms of spread on loans for single division? So looking at the 2016 numbers, you are showing a quite aggressive assumption in terms of loans growth for the next 3 years. So what do you expect in terms of customer spread? The second question is on the trade receivable, in particular on the pharma division. What kind of margins are you able to do in this kind of a business today? What kind of competition do you see? We know that there is a competitor that is trying to go for an IPO. I think that one of the maybe not critical issue, but uncertain number is could be the late payment interest treatment. If you can elaborate what kind of late payment interest you have got as of today and you booked in 2016. The third question is on DRL. You are assuming 10-15 billion new loans, new acquisition. Can you give us a sense of breakdown between consumer credit and the corporate part of the business? the four
sorry to interrupt you. Can you make one question at a time? So I'm losing really the question. So let's
okay.
start with the first one. Trade receivables, you said.
Yes.
Okay, so the question is?
The trade receivable, if you can elaborate on pharma sector, pharma division, let's say, pharma business of the trade receivable, what kind of margins are you making on this kind of business, and what is the amount of late payment interest you booked in 2016, and the outstanding amount of late payment interest you still have off balance sheet?
Okay, in terms of spread by single division, we are not going to give any detail apart from what we already wrote on the presentation, okay, for the coming years. As far as the pharma sector is concerned, we have a basket portfolio of interest, let's say, a basket of interest, not portfolio, sorry, equal to 160
late payment,
okay, related to late payments, equal to 162 million euro, of which we estimate that around 70 in that let's say area we are able to recover. Okay. And you said the other
question. DRL.
No, don't DRL. What's the question?
The split between
corporate.
Between 10 and 15 million, billion of euros that we are going to acquire?
Yeah.
Okay, now that, again, probably we can say that being devoted mainly to unsecured, okay, we could be over 50% dedicated to unsecured, but of course that will depend from market portfolios as well as pricing, as well as, let's say, possibility from the originators to sell.
Okay, may I add just an additional question on PPA, reversible PPA. According to my numbers, including also some fiscal assets, I have in mind some 300 million euro remaining badwill that could be reversed in the coming years. Is it correct or not? And you showed in a slide for the corporate lending that you're assuming 67 million euro badwill reversal PPA, sorry, for 2019. Is it correct? Are you going to book it in the top line as net banking income or below the operating line? And finally, I promise on capital, Mr. Bossi said at the beginning of the call, 15% is the new normal. You are targeting some 18% for 2019. So I was wondering if you will not see any additional option to grow in terms of assets, are you prepared to pay back to shareholders the excess capital you got
okay.
in 2018?
So let's start from the PPA, reversal PPA. First of all, PPA is 623, as we said, and it's
the remaining part.
This is the bargain, okay, which is the difference between the equity acquired, okay, plus some taxes, let's say deferred taxes, which is in the range of gross numbers, 1.1 billion, okay, at which you need to subtract let's say the cost paid, first of all, which is up to now, apart from further adjustments that could be in the price adjustment, let's say contract, 119 million euro. And the difference between the fair value of assets and liability bought and the cost paid, okay, is the value of 742, okay, is the value that we have estimated for the Interbanca assets we have booked for the Interbanca assets in our balance sheet. So the difference is in the range of 300. Okay?
But this is net of taxes, Christian.
Yes, net of taxes.
So gross is something more.
Yeah. That is something...
The 60-70 of reversal of PPA in the corporate banking field is right, of course.
By year.
By year.
Okay.
On a yearly basis.
On a yearly
basis.
Okay.
That is important.
And another question you put on the dividend policy, let's say, the suggestion is... we have an excess of capital. We think that we will be in the condition to use the capital with granting to the shareholders a return on equity that justifies not to give back money to the shareholders.
Apart from
the ordinary dividends, we have the intention
to grow
in terms of dividends, let's say in the area of high single digit per year.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Simonetta Chiriotti of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Sorry to go back to this theme of the reversal of the PPA. So the 60-70 million per year, as was asked before, will be booked in the net banking income or below? So this is the first question.
Immediately. It is part of the net banking income. Quite
okay.
More than 90% is...
There.
And these 60-70 million should be expected for how many years?
For a time frame
that is going over the strategic plan.
Well over the strategic plan.
Well over, so we are 2019 is not completed.
It's not going to be completed. And 60-70 is in the corporate banking. Some additional but is not, of course, so meaningful as it is in the corporate banking. Some additional millions are going to be in the leasing.
The leasing field.
Okay. And... the dividend payout will be calculated on the net profit, including the reversal of the PPA?
Let's make it more simple. We are going to increase the total amount paid to stakeholders, to shareholders, an amount that is increasing high single digits.
Okay, and sorry, my last question is on the tax rate. Can you give us a guidance also on this?
We don't think that on this specific point, we don't think that we can expect a significant reduction in the tax rate for the coming years. We have benefits from the tax assets we bought and we found into Interbanca, but the benefit is not in the profit and loss. The benefit is that we don't pay physically taxes.
Cash.
We can settle the tax assets against our tax liabilities, but the tax rate will reduce for some minimum level, but not material, not meaningful.
Some analysts were expecting, I don't know, 20% tax rate in 2017. That is not going to be, okay? We are much more closer to the 30s, so a little bit less than 30s in 2017, growing at the 30% level and over in 2018 and
19. So over 30% in 2018 and 19. Okay, and one last question, more from a strategical point of view, the activity in corporate unsecured and how you define it, micro secured area, Do you expect to this evolution to be to require new costs, or are you do you expect to process the new assets in the platform that you already have?
Broadly speaking, we think that the platform we have will be able to manage also this kind of assets. Of course, we need to hire some, let's say, a small team of guys involved specifically in this point, in this
some
activity.
Some skilled people for
but,
this.
But don't please don't expect a million of euros of cost. This is not true.
Okay.
Something that I can define business as usual.
Okay, and well, last point, really, the last one. In the plan, do you expect, do you include some positive impact from Interbank NPLs?
Say that again.
No. Yes, yes, I understood. In the plan, we estimate a very limited impact of a limited impact of the workouts of some workout from Interbank deteriorated assets.
Very limited amount.
Very limited amount. If you ask me, because this is the real question, what I expect to have, the only answer I could give you is that we will act in the best way possible to recover the maximum amount. Of course, a coverage of 94% is an excellent starting point.
So we should see that as a conservative assumption, not having included particular positive impact from that assets.
Not particular.
Okay.
Just to give us to satisfy some curiosity more, I could say that 90% of the reversal of the PPA will take place till 2023. So
2023.
The next 7-6 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Other question?
The next question is from Manuela Meroni of Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have a couple of questions remaining. The first one relates to the slide number 25. You are saying that you want to diversify your funding mix. I'm wondering if you can share with us the weighting of the single of the different form of funding that you mentioned in the slide, and the cost that you are expecting from each funding sources. And the second question is on your capital buffer and the future growth opportunities that could arise. I'm wondering if you can share with us which are the areas in which you are interested more and in which you might potentially make acquisitions in the course of the business plan.
Okay, as far as the focus on diversified funding, Manuela, we are not going to give any detail in terms of costs because, of course, some of these are hypotheses on which we are working, taking also into consideration which opportunities from the debt market will arise in the coming future years.
And as regards the second question, well, the approach is an opportunistic one. And I could say that I have some ideas on which field, on which markets could be more or less interesting for us. But these are, let's say, free words, because at the end of the day, what is important, what is crucial, is to find opportunities. You know, there are banks that are deleveraging in this moment in Italy, and not only in Italy, but the focus for us is Italy. There are banks that are deleveraging. not absolutely not only in the deteriorated asset field, but also in the performing fields. And we think that we have to properly evaluate any single opportunities using the three pillars that I described half an hour ago, and maintaining the focus not on the most important acquisition of the world, but on the most profitable and sustainable acquisition in terms of portfolios or companies. But so far, our approach should be opportunistic, and we have to stay to wait and see what happens.
Thank you.
Karim.
The next question is from Karim Bertoni of Value Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. First of all, thanks very much for the results so far and the interesting strategic plan. I've got a couple of questions. I would be interested to look at page 17 and understand the what concerns the NBI and the 24-26% CAGR between 16 and 2019. Would it be a right assumption to guess that roughly F of the growth will come from the restatement of PPI?
How much did you say? Half?
Yeah.
No, it's absolutely
no.
Said that 60, 70 million euro a year is the most important number. We are adding some million euros in the lease, and that's all.
You could say 10-15% at the end of 2019.
Okay, so okay on my
10-15% of the net banking of the final net banking income.
Oh, of the final total, but of the growth. I was referring more at the growth because you're going to double
20,
roughly 20, from 380 million.
Could be 20-25%, 25.
Okay. Okay. And second question is more on the on page 21 concerning the NPL. First, I've got a question concerning the recovery rate over 20%. Can you explain us how you expect to get there, and how it compares to current recovery rate?
Okay, current recovery rate is in the range of 15%, already improved, as you may remember, from at the beginning where we were at the 6% level, just at the starting, let's say, years, in the starting years when we really were for the first time present in this business. So we have already, let's say, improved adding experience, adding proprietary databases and tools, and integrating year after year additional recovery channels, we were able to improve our let's say, historical recovery rate, because that was 6-8%, to the today 15%. In this year, so 2017, we are continuing on the same path. Experience on one side. Industrial efficiency created by the coordination of the existing recovery channels, adding new additional channels like the small legal factory, okay? Improving in terms of efficiency the number of people involved in the recovery, either direct involved or indirect involved. I'm referring to the number of people that are growing of either legal and legal inside the company, outside the company, legal firms, network of agents and recovery companies, okay? So based on experience and on industrial machines and increasing volumes on which we can create economies of scale, we think that 20% is absolutely feasible in the next not so many years.
Okay. And now my other final question, but it's true for most of the slides that show the projection for the future, for next future business lines. It's the very high growth, typically, for example, in page 20 of new loans that you expect to get. I'd like to understand with a CAGR of 20-25%, for example, for the leasing business on page 20 and 35-40% in the non-performing loans, page 21. You expect to get that. How do you split that between growth of a market and grabbing market share to players that are going to be less present, as you mentioned, on the field?
So in terms of grabbing market share from the others, so we can have already some results evidence, let's say, in these first 3 months of the year, for example, for the leasing, okay, where we already increased our market share as compared to December 16 and December 15, with either in terms of number of contracts and volumes delivered by the leasing business area. In 15 and 16, just to give you an indication, in terms of volumes, in 15 we were in the range of almost 4%, decreasing in the area of 3% more or less at the end of 16, and today we are already after 4 months of, let's say, leasing being in Banca Ifis, in the area of 4%, okay? So we are already grabbing, I would say, adding 100 basis points in terms of market share. Of course, that is different if we are speaking about instrumental and transportation. We are much more stronger in terms of market share in the transportation, and this is also the area where we want to increase further our presence and where we are, let's say, really at the moment very focused. This is, let's say, already an evidence in our hands after 4 months. So for sure, acquiring market share is the target for the leasing, accelerating again on the market growth that today we expect to be in 2017 in the range of 15%.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So I would like to thank you very much for everyone for being part of this conference call and for the number of questions. So it means the interest that you show for in this call. Thank you very much again, and we will speak again after the release of the first quarter results. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.